why we must grow up. And of course, we're in Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll cover tonight verses 11 to 14. Why we must grow up. And so why don't we jump in here and look at it. In verse 11, he says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And of course, we're jumping right into this portion of Scripture right now that we've left off really in our last study, and verses 1 to 10, that we saw that God's word to us was that Jesus Christ is our great and faithful high priest. And we looked at all of his benefits. And now comes a warning, and I want you to mark this down. This is a very serious warning. It's the third warning in the entire book of Hebrews thus far that we must pay attention to. You have no option tonight if you're a Christian. And by the way, listen up. If you are not a Christian this evening, if you are not a Christian this evening, or if you are a brand new Christian, this message has nothing to do with you. You can take a break. You can sit back, you can put your hands behind your head and just basically say, "Preach it, Pastor, go for it," because it's for the guy next to you, if you're brand new to the faith or if you're not a Christian at all. This deals with those of us who know the Word of God, who have been exposed to the Word of God. We've heard sermons. We've gone in and out of church. And that's who the apostle is writing to at this moment, is a church in Rome known as the Hebrew believers, who were beginning to step back from their commitment to Christ. And they were starting to wane from their commitment to Him. And so the warning comes to us. We had the very first warning in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, where he warns us about drifting. He says, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression, and disobedience received its just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" Then the second warning came to us in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, where God warned us there that we need to be careful that we do not harden our hearts. And I want to warn you now as we come to the third point of warning in this epistle thus far. How do you hear the Word of God? Right now, it's possible I might have already lost somebody. Just the very tone of a voice might you just turn off. "I don't like the way he sounds. I turn him off." Listen, be careful. I've studied this thing inside and out, and I want to warn you right now. Man, this convicted me. It doesn't matter the point of the text this evening. It doesn't matter how monotone I might be, or the guy on the radio, or whatever it is. If you are exposed to Bible, you are now responsible. That's the point. You see, the whole issue of what's happened with the children of Israel, as he warned them about those in the wilderness who started out in faith but then went back and wound up not entering at all, was because they failed to take heed to the Word of God. When you come to church, are you listening? When you come and worship, are you worshiping? Are you just going through the motions? We need to break down the door to this place and make sure we get into our seat before worship begins. Not before the message begins. Your heart needs to be prepared, so does my heart, to receive the Word of God. And we're living in a day and in an age that is so dangerous that I believe fits the text before us in verses 11 to 14. Very serious time. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11, the scripture tells us, "Behold, the days will come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but the hearing of the Word of God. How do you hear? Can you hear? Why do you come to church, Christian? Why do you carry a Bible? You see, the people that he's speaking to in this ending verses of chapter 5, he literally shocks them upside the head, and it was intended, as we'll see in the Greek language tonight. He was jarring them. And I got to warn you, and I just feel so inadequate to deliver this message, because as I looked at this and how the Scripture is put together, and I believe it was Paul who did this book, he literally uses words to shock those who are hearing. And I sat down tonight, and I got ready to come here, and I turned on the news. My wife and I watched the opening thing to the 6 o'clock news, and it was somewhere. Santa Claus got shot somewhere. The next news story was two women in L.A. were beat to death. Or no, excuse me, one of them was beat to death by a robber today. The next story was somebody else being killed. And when they come off the scene and they go back onto the anchor man, he's still smiling like this. Next, we have sports. And I just thought, my Lord and God, we've become so callous. Nothing shocks us anymore, you know? But there's a day coming in the Church of Jesus Christ when there's going to be a shockeroo. A lot of people say, you know, when the rapture happens, oh, the place, you know, it's going to be empty. Well, I sure hope so, but I don't know. Millions of Christians will be yanked from their cars, and there'll be a horrible traffic jam. All these Christian cars will be crashing in because there'll be no drivers behind. Well, maybe. I hope so. I hope that many people are going to be going up, you know. But we have a warning tonight. In your notes, jot it down. Verses 11 through 12, we see here the first point, and it is the problem with spiritual immaturity. Dullness toward the Word of God. Verse 11, he says, of whom we have much to say. Of whom who? Last week we saw it was Jesus Christ in relation to Melchizedek, and we taught that they're really one and the same. There's not three Melchizedeks or two Melchizedeks or five. There's only one. It's Jesus. After an order that is so heavenly and lofty that it is an order of priesthood that is perpetual, Jesus Christ, your priest. But he warns us, he says, of whom we have much to say. We've got a lot to say about Jesus. But what a horrible indictment. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. It's hard to teach. Because these people have become dull of hearing. Now listen, he wants to expound to them the glories of what he just revealed in the first 10 verses, that Jesus is in heaven for you. He's ministering for you right now. Are you having a rough day? Is your heart a little cold? Are you growing a little backslidden in your heart? Or is there a trial? Is there a temptation in your life? Jesus is on the throne of heaven right now for you. He's standing, he's seated, he's interceding, he's praying for your situation right now. The big debate is in your heart and in my heart, do you believe it? You see, if you don't, then you have a dull heart, you have dull ears. And may God shake us up if that's where we're at. He's going to go on to talk about how spiritually immature they are and the problem of that in a moment. But I began to think about this for a moment. I called my wife today to say, do you remember what the... I remembered one of the words. I had to call her for the other one. Should have known it. Do you remember, Lisa, what Rebecca's first words were? We lived right near the approach of John Wayne Airport in Costa Mesa. And me being a pilot, I took my girl out on the porch when she was like 2 days old, and I looked up into the sky and I pointed her towards the 737 that was flying by, and I said, airplane, airplane. airplane. And I always told her, airplane. We'd drive over to the airport, and I'd prop her little car seat up, and I'd say, airplane. And one day, we're out on the porch, and she was 11 months old, and she said, airplane. Airplane. And I went, yes! That was one of her very, very first words, and then shortly after that was dada. She had her priorities right. And you know, it's wonderful. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, she can say airplane. She can say dad. Isn't that great? And I remember Lisa actually was kind of bummed. She was kind of hurt. She's been nursing this kid and changing her and all this stuff. And the first thing's, dada, what about mama? You know, but that's okay. That's fun. That's exciting when you hear that. At 11 months. But if at 11 years of age, she says, airplane, dada, at 11 years, you've got a problem. And it becomes very sad. When you see someone who should be further along, and Christians that love the Lord in a recreational sense, if it's even possible. They have a remote relationship with God. They've been a Christian now, not 11 months, 11 years. And it's still dada, epping. And it's never developed any further than that. But even children want to grow up. When your kids get together and play, what do? They dress up. They act like grown-ups. I'll be the policeman, or I'll be daddy or mommy or whatever. They want to be grown-ups. But we come to the Christian church, and why is it? I think we live in a time and in an age that the church is more asleep than ever before since the Dark Ages. We live, according to the book of Revelation, in the Laodicean period of time, where the church in the last days before Jesus comes back will be predominantly asleep and very carnal and liberal. But what about us? Do we have to be like this? Absolutely not. Nor shall we be, and we'll go down swinging. But why is it in the church? There are some even in the midst of us, and sometimes we even struggle with dullness of hearing in our own hearts. We need to have a very, very grown-up relationship with God. We need to constantly want to be the next Billy Graham or the next Corrie Ten Boom or whoever. That's good desire. But to stay a child forever is not good. But there's that beautiful hunger of a new believer. Man, they want to grow up. Listen, a new convert comes to Christ. You know what the next thing that comes out of their mouth? They read the Bible for a week, and the next thing is they want to be a pastor. And I love that. It's precious. And it's scriptural, 1 Peter 2:2. Peter says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You've got to have milk to grow up, to be strong. But you don't always stay on the milk. But he warns us there in verse 11, of whom we have much to say, that is about Jesus Christ, and hard to explain. Why is it hard to explain? Because you have become dull of hearing. Dull. The word become in this verse is very, very almost sickening to me. The word means an acquired dullness. To become dull of hearing means you acquired the technique of becoming dull in hearing. You learn how to be dull in hearing. You sit in church and you just tune yourself out. You come and you do your time. Well, I guess I'll go to church tonight. It beats being alone. And so you just come in and you like the music. If that's where your heart is, listen, Christian, you are on the brink of becoming dull of hearing. And that scares me to death, personally. There's people who come to church. You know, I shouldn't tell you this, but sometimes you forget your Bible on your seat and you go home. Or you go out in the foyer or whatever. You know what I do? I always run over to the text that we just got done studying and see if you marked in your Bible at all, see if you wrote anything down. I go to my wife's Bible and I look to see what she wrote down last week in the study of Acts. This is bizarre. When I teach at the Bible college, that's the big thing. You better take notes. I grade them on their notes. You ought to see those pens up, baby. They're ready to go. Because I'm going to look at their notes at the end of the year. And I wish, you know, that when we're all done, we'll hand in the notes. Why? What's the big deal about notes? Because you have to at least be listening enough to write it down. I've got to learn that way. I'm not smart enough to just sit here and, you know, and do your shopping list, do the grocery list, and sit in the Bible study. Give me a break. Who are you fooling? Listen, I want to warn you right now, it'd be best for you to stay home. Because God's going to say someday, you know what, you had the words going right past your ears, but you didn't let it go in. And unfortunately, that message was going out that could have really affected your neighbor, but you were sleeping at the wheel, and I hold you accountable. The scripture says, to whom much is given, much will be required. But we become dull of hearing. And I'm not saying you. I'm saying as a church, generally, across the land, we need to be so careful. And Paul, in writing this exhortation, made that very, very clear. It's a warning. Revelation 2:5 says, remember, therefore, from where you are fallen, and repent and do the first works. The word in Revelation about remember where you have fallen literally means remember from the heights that you have fallen from. You were once very strong with Jesus Christ. You were in the ministry, or you were serving, or you were whatever. You were hotter than you are now. I warn you, you're becoming dull of hearing. And you hear this from people who say, well, you know what, I used to go to church all the time, but you know what, after going there for 10 years or whatever, I don't need to do that anymore. Hey, dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Dull, right there. Well, you know, I think I'll sit out this month or this week or whatever. It's taken us too long to get through the book of Hebrews. Watch out. Hey, look, if you're not going to go here, go somewhere. Be very, very careful. The newness that they once had in Christ had become stagnant. Their faith had stopped growing. And the indictment is that they had failed to lay hold of the diet that was provided to them by the Lord in the Word of God. You have become dull of hearing. The word dull in the Greek language means to become sluggish of ear, to have fat stuffed in your ear. Isn't that gross? Yuck. To be lazy, apathetic. The word means to cool off or to lose passion or to become deadened. To lose passion or to cease contributing to a relationship. Isn't that the saddest thing you've ever seen in your life when you've got two people and they start out, they love each other. And then after a while, there's a cooling off. And one person always seems to be giving more than the other. Isn't that sad when that happens? Well, I just don't love them anymore. You know why? Love is a choice. Well, I just don't have fireworks anymore for that person. Love has nothing to do with fireworks. Lust has a lot to do with fireworks. And infatuation. But when that wears off, see, when the infatuation wears off, what's there? Are you now committed to make it work? And that's what Paul is saying to the believers there in Rome, these Hebrew believers. Are you willing now to get out of the feeling zone and go by faith? And they were not. They were stepping back. They were getting ready to give up. And that was very, very unfortunate. They were becoming fat or sluggish in the ear. Love never grows cold. It just becomes starved by lack of input. He says dull of hearing. The word hearing in the Greek language means to stop being an audience. audio, audience, to stop being the hearer. You give up. You quit. Jesus said in Matthew 11:16, "But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children seated in the marketplace and calling to their friends, saying, 'We have piped to you, but you have not danced. We have mourned, but you have not cried.'" Jesus said there's a generation that hears the word of God and won't receive it. Yeah. Same thing. Heard it before. Oh, really? Then what are you doing with it? You see, that's what God will require. And here's my heart's desire tonight. And I can tell you right now, and I think I can tell you without emotion now, because I cried in my study today over this very fact with what I'm about to say. You can judge my heart all you want, but I'm going to jump into the verse that Paul says, "No man judges me, God judges me." But I leaned back in my chair today after preparing this part and coming up on the text in front of us here, and I said, "Lord, those who are here who are on the brink of falling asleep or becoming dull of hearing, shake them so much, in whatever capacity is necessary, dear God, to get them to either fall into the stadium or out into the parking lot. Either go left or go right. Go up or go down." But the author, Paul the Apostle, I believe here is trying to jar, he's trying to shock the church into waking up from their sleepiness. And I want you to listen to these questions that the Lord laid on my heart. This is for me as well as for you. What level of priority does the Bible have in your life? That will determine your spiritual condition. A. Is the Word of God the domineering force in your life? If it is not, that is a definition of irreverence. Having no awe or no reverence for Him. B, neglect. How long can your Bible sit at home without you picking it up? It's neglect. You've become dull of hearing. Do you pick your Bible up on Wednesday night and Sunday morning alone? You're dull of hearing. Do you come to these studies as your main spiritual diet? Because that's wrong. Your main spiritual diet should be daily with the Lord, and these gatherings are corporate worship moments to accent your daily life. Neglect. The third one, or C, is the fear of being callous. Are we callous toward the needy? If God's word is in our hearts, are we going to be active? Do we see people around us and they're in need and we just forget them? Our hearts have grown cold. We become dull of hearing. D, indifference. Are we indifferent? Does it no longer affect you or I that people who live near us or work with us are going to hell? We know they're going to hell. They're not even Christians. They live like hell. And they're going to burn. They're going to perish in a Christless eternity. Does it matter to us anymore? Or do we get so caught up? Am I so caught up in ministry as a pastor? Well, I got to prepare the message. Got to feed the homeless. Or got to do this. Got to go witness. Wait a minute. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And what is the passion in my heart? This is serious stuff. Am I indifferent that people who are near me are perishing and I dare not tell them about Jesus because I either don't have the time or I might be uncomfortable? Do you know how uncomfortable hell will be for those who are going? You study about hell? And I have no right. Someone, I don't remember who it was, said about Dwight L. Moody. I quoted this a couple Sundays ago that no one had a right to speak on hell except Dwight L. Moody, the great American evangelist, because they said every time he mentioned hell, he began to weep. He's the only one who was qualified, him and Jesus. But do you realize that hell is described in the Bible as of a place where you are forever falling? You know that feeling of forever falling in a place that's absolutely dark, no light at all, where the worm dies not? It means that it gnaws upon your body, some kind of a spiritual demon worm. That there are flames that don't generate any light but burn. And all of these horrible things depicted, I'm wondering if we even believe in it anymore. We live in a spiritual time where it's like, I don't want to offend anybody. Probably already have by now, huh? But we're so concerned about our self-esteem. I have no self-esteem. Every time I look at self, it makes me sick. I have God esteem. I love to see myself in Jesus because that's the only way I can look at myself. But when I look at my neighbor who's perishing, they're not in Christ. They're not in the Lord. Have I become indifferent? Am I apathetic? E. Am I apathetic in spreading the gospel around the world? If we are unable to listen to spiritual truth and we have no appetite for the Bible, we have become dull of hearing. And I know that this message should probably go out on Sunday morning rather than Wednesday night, because I look across this place and so many of you are such wonderful servants in this body. And maybe it's Sunday, people that need to hear this. But do we have an appetite for spiritual things? Listen to what Richard Baxter said, the Puritan. He said, "Wake up! You have work to do just as the pastor does. For what he learns to deliver to you, you must learn to live, and you should be busy at doing it. You must open your mouth and eat it yourself. That is the word of God. No one can digest it for you. Therefore, avoid getting lazy, fat ears," said Richard Baxter. We need to take notes. We need to jot down the title. We need to jot down the points. We need to make a personal application. Listen, how does this message affect you in changing the way you conduct yourself? That's what I have to ask me. Am I going to change after tonight? Is it going to make a difference in my life? Or am I going to punch out, go to Mimi's, and forget about it? We need to be so careful. Look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. He's telling the church, by now you should be teachers. It's not pastors, that's not evangelists, that means instructors in truth. Every one of you who are a Christian who've walked with the Lord for a period of time ought to be able to instruct somebody. Well, I'm very shy. I understand that. God knows that. But you're not exempt from sharing. Can you write a letter? Write the prison system. Get on the correspondence course. There's something that you can do. Share. When we become dull of hearing, we are no longer sharing with people. We're not even looking. In fact, we try to, you know, get a little tiny Bible and hide it, you know, and pull it out at lunch and put it away. And, oh, man, I think that guy saw me with my Bible. Come on, get a huge one. I got a Bible in my office. I can't believe a brother here in the church gave it to me. It's so big. It's huge. I got to bring this thing out some night. You got to see this thing. Put on a wagon and pull it out here. I mean, it's about almost 4.5 inches thick? I mean, I had to walk into some restaurant someday and plop that baby down and it's jumbo Bible. But we get these, it's convenient. Well, you know why it's convenient? It's because we so often hide it. You know. But listen to this in verse 12. Don't believe me when I tell you this. Do Acts 11:17. Go see if what I tell you right now is true. In verse 12 where it says, "For by this time you ought to be teachers." In the Greek, it is literally this way. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, it is a caustic sarcasm in the Greek. He's really rubbing it in. If I were to do it, like maybe the apostle did it to these guys, you would get mad at me and walk out. You'd leave. He was so rude. I'll never go back. Unloving. Hey, let me tell you something. If that's what you're thinking, you're totally wrong. Again, when you have a little baby and they've got an ear infection and they're sick and you've got to give them the antibiotic, you know, they're a year old. Would you like to take your medicine? Good luck. Come on, you know, you got to put your finger in their mouth and they'll bite down on your finger and they're like digging in. They're just gumming you to death. And you take that little syringe or whatever you're using to get that medicine in there, and you put it in. And you got to force feed them. Why? It's the only way they're going to get better. But they're fighting it the whole way. No, no, no. And they're kicking, and they think you hate them. They've got to get the medicine. That's what Paul's doing here. You've got to get this medicine. You know, here come the vitamins. He's shoving it down their face. He's intentionally using sarcasm. And the image is this. Watch this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. That is, you need to be taught again the very basics of God's scriptures, of God's word. We got to go back and start all over again. And the image that he puts here in the language is this. Full-aged people, grown-ups like us, grown-ups in diapers, laying in the dirt. Now, they didn't have baby bottles in those days, but in our day, they'd be sucking on a baby bottle. I heard of some churches that do this now. You having a hard time with your past? Can't trust the Word of God? Don't believe much in it? You can put on a diaper and crawl into a crib. And you can cuss your mother out and your father out or the Pope or Bill Clinton or whoever's bugging you. And freak out and throw a temper tantrum and throw stuff and break it. This is done in a church. It's not all that far from here. And you can go through your therapy. Can you believe this stuff? And then you get, well, you know, I really feel better. Of course you feel better. You're screaming like an idiot for an hour. You're all tired. You should have jogged around the block or prayed. You would have felt even better. Nuts with Christianity. Let me tell you, it's the Bible that's going to change things. Boy, if you're visiting that, I really feel sorry for you. Now, you know how the Lord works. Somebody's visiting tonight that's from the church that He always does that to me. The image of full-grown adults sucking on a bottle. And what is portrayed in the scripture here is that right in front of them is a table decked with steak and eggs or roast or ham or whatever you want to... Meat! But they're whining and they're drinking the bottle. And what's happened is as they grew up like the little bird, they were supposed to grow out of what they ate when they were little into the things that would sustain them for life. And there are Christians who've been Christians for 5 years, 10 years, and they haven't gone any further They've never been challenged in their Christian experience because they won't allow themselves to be. They're hiding out. And they become dull of hearing. And nothing convicts them anymore. Nothing excites them anymore. Nothing works anymore. And church is a bore. Paul says, you need someone to teach you again. A second childhood. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 11, 1 through 3, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual people, but as unto carnal people, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able to receive. For you are still carnal, for where there is envying and strife, listen, in my life, and ask yourself in your life, are you envious? Am I envious? Do I strive? Are you striving? Are there divisions? I won't talk to her. Just stay away from them. I don't want to get near that guy. You just stay over there. Divisions among you? Paul says, aren't you not carnal and behave like mere men? You're carnal. If we're going to act like this, we're going to be carnal people. And he's speaking to the church in 1 Corinthians 3. I'll pick up the pace. The second point is the cause of spiritual immaturity. Verses 12 to 13, the latter part of verse 12. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Stunted spiritual growth. They're still eating baby food. The word again here is the Greek word palin. And it means to plow again, to repeat the same process over and over again. We've got to go back and start it again. You're anemic. Having so little of His word in your life daily, you've become anemic. And the word principles means the very beginning alphabet, the ABCs. It means the ABCs of theology, of knowing God again. And this is dangerous, people, because if you know something and you don't put it into action as a Christian, remember, we're only talking to seasoned Christians tonight. If you know something and you're not putting it into practice, Jesus has warned us that we could lose it. You know the old saying, you don't use it, you lose it kind of a thing? It's that true in Scripture, it's true. Jesus said in Matthew 13 concerning the great parable of the sower and the seed. In Matthew 13, 12, he says, for whoever has, to him it will be given to him. That is, whoever's got an ear to hear, Jesus said, let him hear. Get the fat out of your ear and you'll hear more. So Jesus says in Matthew 13, 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken away from him. That is, if you've heard the word of God and you don't do anything with it, Jesus says if you don't, in time, he'll take it out of your heart. If you're just going to sit on it. Remember the parable of the talents? God's blessed you, and what do? You bury it in the ground. And Jesus comes back and he says, hey, you could at least put it in the bank and got some interest out of it. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You know why he's so hard on that? Because Jesus said, whoever wants to lose his life shall find it when he comes to me. But if you're trying to save your life, protect your little name or your little reputation, Jesus says in the end you'll lose it. Because what little bit you did have, because you didn't invest it, he'll take it away. That's serious stuff. Jesus warns us in Matthew 13, 15, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn from their wicked ways and be healed. Wow. Convicto time. You know what? The statement that he made, this is great. I wish I could do it right. But what you're, in your mind's eye, there's these big people laying in the dirt or laying in the crib and they're just sucking on their bottle and Paul's preaching at them. You big babies! You've had the gospel. You've had so many opportunities. You've just kind of laid around and wet your pants and drinking on this bottle and you've been a big baby. And He nails them with this verse that you need to be taught again. And what you could hear in the parable of what he's teaching is these guys, I mean, out comes the thumb. He shocks them. That's what he's trying to get the picture of here. They're just, and out comes the thumb. They're shocked. We're not babies. He's trying to freak them out. And I love that. If you can't get through to them, you know, well, we've done it all, haven't we? Tabasco sauce in the thumb and, you know, no, I'm kidding. I was going to say battery acid, you know, nuclear waste, you know, kryptonite. If that doesn't work, though, usually one of their little friends will come up and say, You still suck your thumb? And that's it. Isn't that true? That's like, the next time they lay down in bed, it's like, and then they, whoop, pull it out. Not doing that anymore. Peer pressure, so to speak. Their friends say, hey, what are you doing sucking your finger like that? Shocked. That's what he's doing right here in this verse. And it's so sarcastic. Latter part of verse 12, you have come to need milk and not solid food. They have regressed so bad they need milk again. And you know what milk is? Jot this down. I don't want you to misunderstand this. It's so important. Milk's not bad, you know. You got to have milk to grow. Milk's good. Milk is the Bible. Milk is the Bible. It's what Jesus did and understanding what Jesus did while he was on earth. That's the milk. The Gospels. That's the milk. The epistles expound on what he did while he was on earth. That's the meat. You start off in the Gospels. You hear the Word of God. You get born again. You eat up the Gospels, right? Then you graduate to the book of Acts. Then you go to Romans. Then you go to Corinthians. Then you keep growing. That's why by the time you get to the book of Revelation, you'll understand it if you do it that way. Everybody gets saved and goes to the book of Revelation. I want to know what the world's coming to. Hey, it's coming to trash. It's all going to burn up. Let it go. You just get ready. I don't understand the book of Revelation. Did you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? No. Read those first. It's how you grow up. The milk is the basic foundation of Christianity. Peek ahead. Look at Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or to completion or spiritual maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. You already know that. And faith toward God. You already know that. Of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of the resurrection from the dead and of eternal judgment. You already know that. Now it's time to grow on. You and I need to be able to give an answer to every man who asks us for the reason, for the hope that lies within us. If somebody comes to your door, or if tonight someone asks you, how is it that Jesus has taken away our sin? You better be able to answer them. If you can't, listen, I don't mean to put my finger on anybody. This is just bare bone fact. If you can't explain from the Word of God and you've been a Christian for a while, if you cannot tell them or show them how is it Jesus puts away our sin, then you're a babe. You need to move on to some meat now and understand how that happens. Why did God turn his back on Jesus on the cross? Why? That's meat. You need to know why. How is it that the Holy Spirit dwells in me, but I need him to come upon me? How? You need to know how. Somebody asks you, you need to give an answer. That's meat. How do I die to flesh, to the self-life? That's meat. Verse 13, regarding the cause of spiritual immaturity, is for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. This word here of righteousness means they are unable to use the Word of God to live a right life. That's what it means. The word of God, they do not know how to use so that they can be victorious. Can I say something radical and bold? In your life, in my life, if I, tomorrow, start my day in the Word of God, waiting, just sitting there saying, Lord, what do you want to say? Again, Dwight L. Moody said, if you want to be a successful Christian, pray for 15 minutes, sit still and listen for 15 minutes, and read your Bible for 15 minutes every day. And he said, you will be invincible. Isn't that easy? It's that easy. Well, Jack, I've been doing it. Nothing's happened to me. Ah, maybe you're dull of hearing. Maybe you're just reading to do Bible time. You know, you lay your Bible, lay your devotion. Next. Tuesday. I can do that pretty good, huh? Going through customs, you see the guy. It's like, that's how you read your Bible. Bless me. And don't you hate this when you ask yourself, when you're all done, what did I just read? That's why we need to have a little notebook. If you're serious, I'll show you what I personally do in my life. I sing the Lord some songs because I got to prepare my heart. Probably upsets him. I'll sing him a couple songs. Then I read. My scripture reading has nothing to do with the messages on Sundays or Wednesdays. Right now I'm going through the book of Ezra and having a blast. And I'll read a chapter or 10 chapters. Doesn't matter. Depends on what I want to do. It's pretty fun because I don't know what I'm going to do from day to day. Could be one chapter, could be half a chapter. It depends. Then I'm reading a book right now. Happen to be reading a book by Warren Wiersbe on Living with the Giants about the lives of great men of God who have died before us. Great book. You ought to get it. Little short stories. Man, I read that and I get pumped up. Oh, God, today I read The Life of Charles Spurgeon. Oh, God, make me like this guy. God, I want to be like him. And I pray after that because I have to have my heart prepared. I can't just get up and start praying. I got to get primed like a pump, you know. I'm dead in the morning. I get up and it's like, I gotta get stuff in. And I am so uncreative. Is that a word? Uncreative? Well, maybe it is now. Anyway, I will use the scripture or the devotion that I just read to stoke my prayer. And I love what Dwight L. Moody said, 15 minutes, watch what happens. It's true. He says in verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. And we're not talking physical age. We're talking about people who want to grow. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And we could spend a year on that verse. Quickly, the word reason means, by reason, the word means a channel or a conduit. You become a channel or a conduit in use. The word use means continuous, ongoing, advancing, routine practice in your life. All the time. That means you get a message, or you learn something, you start applying it to your life. You write it out, you start doing it. Put it on your dashboard. I need to be more like this. By exercising while you're eating, you'll grow. As you grow, diapers won't fit anymore. They'll come popping off. You can't handle just milk. Now you've got to have meat. And the more you are used by God, the more you've got to run back, listen, and we'll wrap it up. You got to run back to the refrigerator, your Bible, open it up, get some more steaks down your throat. Then you can go back out there and minister again to people and dole it out to them. You will grow strong by exercise of use the Word of God in your life. And it says that they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And here's the deal. The word senses means the word sense. I mean perception, ability, judgment. And my heart breaks over the Christians I talk to who have no judgment. Well, I know I know that I'm single, and I know that he's non-Christian, and he hasn't done drugs in a couple of months, but he's a nice guy. Why can't I date him? That's hard. Well, I know that the Bible says, you know, that I should have not gone into that kind of a place, but whenever you hear a but coming, you know. You see, to exercise the Word of God is to say, Lord, I have a tendency to go get in this kind of trouble. So I'm going to apply the Scriptures to my life that deal with that. Are you having a trouble with your thought life? Master the Scriptures in Corinthians, where let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Know what that means. Understand what it means. You'll have judgment that way. You'll be wise. You won't get into trouble. You won't goof up. Every decision that you make will be right. Do you realize that tonight every choice you can make can be absolutely correct if you yield to the will of God and know the Word of God in your life? If you don't, you'll become victimized and vandalized, and you will be able to discern both good and evil. That's why we can't do it today. We don't know the Word of God. We're not living in the Word of God, and so we get into trouble. And, you know, we don't have that clear, defined line anymore. It's gray. And God says, I don't know gray. God says, I'm black and I'm white. It's sin or not. And we say, well, why can't I? Because you're dull of hearing. And by the way, we'll end with this. If we're dull of hearing, you know what happens? Do you know who the greatest amount of converts to cults are? According to the Christian Research Institute, it's those in the Lutheran, Methodist, and Baptist denominations. Not all of them, but a lot of them, I guess, are not teaching the Word. Not all of them, some of them. But the cults boast that right out of mainline Christianity, we're getting all these people. You know why? People do not know how to distinguish the good from the evil. And what does a little baby do when he's crawling on the carpet? Pick up anything and put it in their mouth, don't they? Right in there. Buttons, nails, bugs. And so does a person who does not know the Word of God. They hear some false doctrine and right in the mouth. They'll chew on it, swallow it. That's okay. But if you're in the Word, you'll be able to spit out false doctrine. You'll smell it a mile away. We need to be careful. I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to read you this verse, and we'll say amen at the end of this verse. 2 Peter 3:14. Listen to this. Meditate on this. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to us, as also in all of Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things very hard to understand. I think he's talking about Hebrews chapter 5. Which untaught, unstable people in the church twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Are you steadfast? Being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. In Jesus' name, let's stand. Hard stuff, challenging stuff, convicting. It's my heart's desire that if you're upset, if you're bummed out, take it to the Lord. Talk to him about it. Don't kick me out in the parking lot. I cannot convict you. And if it makes you feel any better, all of us are guilty of being dull of hearing. And I don't understand how God does it or why God does it. But I don't want to be dull of hearing anymore in my life. And may God burn in our hearts by the person of the Holy Spirit the desire to grow up in Him.